Life on Land, Chapter 21, Stanislavski, Acceptation, and the Octopus. Imagination. All creativity begins with active imagination, giving us the ability to ideate, to conceptualize, to see the future, and to bring into existence something that was not previously known. To manifest a vision is to entice the forces of creation to draw near, to impregnate the moment, to give vigor to inspiration, to help parent a new arrival. To conceptualize is to create an instance of fertility in which an idea functions somewhat like a sperm penetrating the egg of a moment. If something is unthinkable within your frame of reference, the quiver of imagination will be aborted after the first stir. Envisioning in the mind's eye is the first place of manifestation, represented by the egg. The quickening of excitement over what one sees as meaningful creates an impetus that can be understood as a questing sperm. A connection is being sought. In Octo Movement, Emily has named what she considers a new movement category in honor of our eight-limbed friend. In regards to tissue dexterity, and what does that actually mean? So she takes up the issue of aging, which concerns all of us, really. Certainly the environment plays a role in how our skin ages, the sun, the wind, dryness, and gravity has its role as parts of our bodies begin to droop with the years. But it is the fluid within our tissues, she says, that is the most important factor in keeping joints articulate, back straight, fingers nimble, bodies supple and sensual, and our brains sharpened. She believed there would be no decrepitude or faculty failure in the aging process if one were able to enjoy a continual process of renewal. To Emily, one cannot escape or separate the structure of tissue from the structure of thought. Tissue structure represents a gestalt. It functions like a hologram representing the entirety of a system. When we see, she says, the perceptual renewal demonstrated in the octopus, we are seeing an organism that is highly responsive to its environment. The octopus demonstrates an array of responses that goes far beyond anything we would observe in adult humans. In babies, we see the immediacy of how they interact with their environment. When a baby is unresponsive, we are rightfully concerned, as we have all seen the footage of Romanian orphans who are never engaged or played with, lying dormant in their cribs with an inability to thrive. So Emily compares this failure to respond. She applies that to inert tissue that is delayed in its response to the presence of stimulation. She says that any somatic therapist knows that in the process of touching a client, the therapist can determine the level of health by the length of time it takes to generate a response. It is toxicity that plays a large role in rigidifying tissue. Toxicity contributes to a lack of response when accumulated debris deters fluid mobility. So Emily turns her attention to the octopus, with its amazing display of tissue diversity. she says that we see in their multiplicity of movements an expunging process. When a river runs easily and freely, everything moves. When a river is stagnant, nothing moves. Characteristic of aging is an overall energetic diffusion, an ebbing of function, a diminishment of faculties. Mobility is challenged, sensing faculties dim, and there is a general feeling that our inner light is dwindling. So exercise is good for us, and it has been established that circulation and heart rate are important factors in delaying the aging process. But there is much more to it than that. Emily says that in your mind at this moment, think of someone running or biking. Zoom in on the movement of their tissue, and you will see that it is quite directional and sequential, meaning that it is moving along a very specific and direct line of action. Now, zoom in on the octopus and notice that there is a complexity in the tissue that suggests a very different organization of matter. The multiple layers we observe in the octopus can be seen as a neural extravaganza. The more complex the movement, the more multi-leveled is the engagement of the entire organism. So Emily quite often referred to the cell and the embryonic spiral as biological motifs. She says that in continuum, much of our attention is paid to the first layer in embryogenesis, which is the spine, the brain, the skin, and the eyes. In moving through this field, she has found that it is, for lack of better words, it's all negotiable territory. The skin is basically neural tissue. Our brain is not just sitting inside the roof of our head. Our brain is spread throughout our entire body. Movement is the neural stimulator par excellence. The diversity of response that we see in octave movement is nourishment. Constant interaction with the environment in order to create new adjustments is a nutritional factor. Usually we think of food as nutrition, but engaged movement is vital for thriving. So Emily said we could look at rigid, toxic, or traumatized and poorly responsive tissue as a form of isolation. Landlocked within the inner world, there is very little stimulation to invigorate. Everything dwindles into apathetic inertia, just like the Romanian babies did. The body as a renewable resource is an idea that has not yet taken root within our mass consciousness. She said, currently, we're very busy creating bionic humans with metallic body parts, and perhaps this is helpful at times, but not at the sacrifice of our inner genius.